अहनौ भुनक्थु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Okay, so then we're on page 76, Adhyayana 1, Adhikarna 3, Bhakti alone is the conclusion of all the scriptures. Riti. The author next describes the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj to the sons of the demons. Prahlad Maharaj instructs that the human form of life is very rare, and hence, from the very beginning of life, one should engage in the service of the Supreme Lord, since even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection. Any activity or duty which doesn't lead to the platform of surrender to the Lord is a waste of time and energy. But so bringing this point out, you know, just again and again, bhakti alone is the conclusion. It's not that bhakti is the conclusion, bhakti alone. Because otherwise, yes, no, it's the conclusion, but there's also this and this and this. No, it's that there's only bhakti is independent, you know, and it's pleasantly stated because it is just about bhakti. So it's not that anything else has any effect at all or any benefit at all for the soul. We may think because of conditioning that, yes, you know, living like this or that, living in the mode of goodness or being a nice person, you know, being part of the community, a nice family member or friend, all these things are good for the soul, but actually they don't do anything for the soul. So as Prahlad Maharaj is pointing out, they're just a waste of time, unless if they don't bring you to the platform of devotional service, then what's the point? And they themselves can't bring you there. So what does that mean? It would mean that devotional service where you engage yourself and use these as a medium, then in that way it's bringing because of the bhakti that you've added. But it itself has no value at all for the soul. Anucheda 54. At the end of Shankarshan's teachings to Chitraketu, there is a verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 6:16-62. This will be discussed later. In the seventh canto, in teaching the boys, Prahlad says. So this is the second time he's done this. He's mentioned some other verses, and he says that'll be discussed later because they are in the same line, but they are farther down in the steps because he's taking everything and making sure that each and everything is covered, that there's no gap, no space left for anyone to come up with any other argument or idea that there's something else other than bhakti that can give you any benefit. Prahlad Maharaj says, Kumara acharet pragyo dharman bhagavatan iha dulabham manusham janma tadapyadruvam artadam. One who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life. In other words, from the tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagements. The human body is most rarely achieved, and although temporary like other bodies, it is meaningful because in human life, one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection. Yatahi purushasyeha vishnof pado kasarpanam yad esha sarva bhutanam priya atmeshvara ashvara shuhrit. The human form of life affords one a chance to return home, back to Godhead. Therefore, every living entity, especially in the human form of life, must engage in devotional service to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. This devotional service is natural because Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the most beloved, the master of the soul, and the well-wisher of all other living beings. Right. So he's pointing out that This human form of life, it has the uniqueness of being able to engage in devotional service, and no other form has that natural tendency. So even though, yes, it is a material body, it is temporary, it's still coming under the aspects of the conditioning, but this conditioning allows you to take up devotional service. This position allows that. So therefore, you should use it. And if you don't, then you're just a fancy animal. That's all. And so if someone says, oh, later, you know, these are important, then, but they're important to who? To the animal mentality. So unless they're connected to Krishna, then, and in devotional service, they don't actually take on the actual human form of life. I mean, the actual human life. Human life means you're engaged in devotional service. Like that. So all these aspects, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, the living entities, they have that. They do their duties like that. They want to get benefit from it. They enjoy the senses. They want to get out of difficult situations. So that's common with the animals, the eating, sleeping, mating, defending. It's all common with the animals. And different animals have different things. You know, we talk community. Look at termites. You know, one queen, there's millions and millions of citizens. You know, very strong community. You know, ants, bees, so many. There's such great, strong communities. Elephants, you know, they take care of any child of anybody in the herd is a child of the herd. And so they all protect the child, you know, there's no nuclear families there. So everything is going on. So you see is that whatever is happening that we value is already going on in the animal kingdom. It may not have the sophisticated external aspects of it. It's just very simple. But the point is that the principle of it is going on, and the experience that the animals gets the same. So it's not that there's any greater difference. You know, you can't say that, oh, well, I'm riding in my fancy car, you know, doing 180 kilometers an hour. You know, the hawks and eagles, they do faster than that when they do a dive to catch a bird or a rat. You know, you don't think they don't get a buzz out of that? You know, so, you know, there's no difference. So Prahlad Maharaj is telling his classmates that therefore you should take this up. And why? It's natural. And why is it natural? Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord, is the most beloved, the master of the soul, and well-wisher of all other living beings. So he's the well-wisher, he's the beloved, and he's the master. So he's natural to take shelter of. Yes? No? Yeah. Okay. In human life, iha, one should perform Bhagavad Dharma since it gives value to his birth. Devatas, on the other hand, have excessive sense enjoyment, and animals have no power of discrimination. Having attained human birth, one should not delay. Starting from childhood, Kaumaram, one should practice, since human life is impermanent and rarely achieved. Since scriptures are meant primarily for humans, this statement confirms the importance of scripture. But one is considered a human by having intelligence of a human. The second verse, right? Because otherwise you can have intelligence, but you're using the scriptures for other things or not using it for the actual purpose of human life. You're just using for sense gratification. So it's just a little bit more sophisticated animals, that's all. Because we have to remember is on the Anamoy platform, then you have basically three groups. One is that is naturally the animals themselves. The second group would be the uncivilized, you know, humans, you know, what we would call, you know, the unsophisticated and that tribalism and that. So they don't have a real concept of God. They worship nature and this and that. The third then, you know, is that atheistic person who is very sophisticated, dresses well, everything nice, knows all the etiquettes, does everything perfectly, just because it gets benefit for him. You know, he doesn't worry about, you know, what the social norms and this and that. He follows social only because of the benefit he gets. So when he wants, he follows them. When he doesn't want, he doesn't follow them. And so he's very sophisticated. He knows how to dress. He knows how to talk. He knows how to go to a restaurant, you know, and, you know, what things to order, how to eat it. He can do all, you know, whatever there is that we would call sophisticated and cultured in the world, he can do that. because he knows it gets more benefit than if you're just not doing such sophisticated things. He knows there's more taste, there's more, the experience is greater or more intense. So he does that because that's for him. So he's still on the platform of Anamoy. You know, and also those who do everything through the senses, like we see the modern science, you know, if mathematicians, physicists, chemists, all these ones in the hard sciences, unless with the senses they can see it, they don't believe in it. So actually they claim to be the higher science because they're the hard science, but it's hard because it's like the rock, you know, or solid. It's just, it's dealing with matter as senses and sense objects. So all they are is also a sophisticated animal. They're just not necessarily culturally sophisticated, but they are sophisticated by, you know, analyzation and discrimination of the senses on what is matter. You know, the difference in that up to their level of interest. So they don't actually get to the pranamoya stage. Well, you see the soft sciences, then they deal with the mind and all that. So they have more of a tendency to deal with pranamoya. Also atheistic, because they think it's because of all this, that's why it's going on, not that there's a higher purpose of human life, you know. So all these elements, and we're taking it, they're not actually taking advantage, because human life only actually starts at Manamoy, where they accept the laws of God, they're theistic, that's human. Below that's human form of life, but not human life. So only when they become theistic moralists, then they take on human life, because they're accepting that there's laws of God. God gives morality. God gives religion. But below that, then they think that, no, man makes morality. Man makes religion. And so it's a problem like that. Yes? Yeah. The second verse shows that human life is suitable for performing Bhagavad Dharma. As a human being, one should surrender to the Lord suitably with Bhagavad Dharma, since the Lord is the object of affection, Priyaha, for all beings by his nature, since he is Paramatma, the Supreme Soul. He is the object of surrender, since he can do anything, Ishvara, and he desires the benefits of all beings, Sukrit. You know, so the using the intelligence of the human, in other words, to acknowledge God's laws, and that then that platform, then the human being, one should surrender, because human life is the most suitable for performing Bhagavad Dharma. And so then it naturally comes through is that it's a human form, it should be engaged in human form, in human activities, which means following the scriptures using the intelligence, but then it should be engaged for Bhagavad Dharma. That's actually the point of it. And then why Bhagavad Dharma? Because the Lord, he's the object of affection, because everybody, anything that you have affection for is because it has a potency in it that you're attracted to. Anything. It doesn't matter what it is. You have a watch you like. There's something about the watch you like, either the aesthetics or its practicalness or its size or, you know, something aspects of the prestige or, you know, whatever it is, or it's heavy enough and clunky enough that if someone annoys you, you can clunk them and hit him in the head and then knock him out. Whatever it is, it has a potency, and that potency is Krishna's. So anything that we're attracted to, I mean, absolutely anything, it's because it's Krishna. Krishna's potency is there. There isn't anything else. And so therefore, he's the natural object of affection for all beings, even the animals. They find, you know, doing what they do, but they're following Krishna's law. And by following it, they're getting a taste of how they eat, how they sleep, how everything. And so they're happy. You know, if no one's bothering them, they're happy. You know, it just means, yeah, there's no problems for them. And so that point is that affection that they have, that it is actually Krishna. Like that. And he's Paramatma, so he's the supreme whole. He controls all that. And he's the object of surrender, because, you know, he's the one that takes care of everything. And he himself, as Bhagavan, desires the benefit of all beings, Suhrit. He desires that. Therefore, he expands as Paramatma and takes care and expands the universe and makes the creation and everything like that. So he's the actual friend, you know, and this friend means a well-wishing friend, because you have friends that are just, you know, friends, they hang out and talk, this, that. But one who's a well-wishing friend, that's then the actual, that's the actual where you see the depth is. Anything else can just disappear at any moment. Right? So, but Krishna, he comes as Paramatma, he goes with you wherever he goes, no matter what happens. He's the real well-wisher. Yes? Okay. Anything or no? Okay. Anucheta 55. The conclusion is stated. Dharmartha kama iti yo vihitas trivarga iksha trayi naya damao vividha chavarta manye tare tad akilam nigamasya satyam swatmarpanam swasuridhaf paramasya pumsaha. Religion, economic development, and sense gratification. These are described in the Vedas as trivarga, or three ways to salvation. Within these three categories are education and self-realization, ritualistic ceremonies performed according to Vedic injunction, logic, the science of law and order, and the various means of earning one's livelihood. These are the external subject matters of study in the Vedas, and therefore I consider them material. However, I consider surrender to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu to be transcendental. Okay, so continue Prahlad Maharaj's teachings. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.6.26, Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. These instructions of Prahlad Maharaj stress the transcendental position of devotional service, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 14.26. Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. End quote. One who fully engages in the devotional service of the Lord is immediately raised to the transcendental position, which is the Brahma Bhuta stage. Srimad Bhagavatam 4:30-20. Any education or activity not on the Brahma Bhuta platform, the platform of self-realization, is considered to be material. Right? And so if it's not showing the nature of the soul and how everything connects to the nature of the soul, you know, how everything, you know, what's the benefit, what's the higher benefit, and these lower ones can be used as the medium for that, you know, because he's mentioned all these aspects of Trivarga. And all these things are very nice. Education, right? Everyone talks about that. Self-realization, you know, even the karmas and things like ritualistic ceremonies. Everybody does something, but here's according to Vedic injunction, but they'll, you know, may or may not. Logic, people appreciate that. Science of law and order, they talk about it. And the various means of earning one's livelihood. So these are all aspects that they, in the material world, people will glorify and say, yes, now this is something serious, right? So these are what the boys and the demons Gurukul were learning. They weren't learning God consciousness, but at the school, they were learning all these things. And so they were learning how to be successful in life so that you can enjoy life, you know, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending will go on very nicely. And they were doing it through studying all these things. Otherwise, if they weren't studying these things, why is Prahlad Maharaj mentioned? Right? Any education or activity not on the Brahma Bhuta platform, the platform of self-realization, is considered to be material. And Prahlad Maharaj says that anything material cannot be the absolute truth. For the absolute truth is on the spiritual platform, right? Because it's Krishna's separated energies. So it is his energies that are working, but it's not him, because him means it's connected to him, and him means then it works in cooperation with him. The other is that, yes, you're following the scriptures, but why are people following? Because of the benefits they'll get. So you'll see, if someone sees some benefit from doing something, let's say you know, like the varnashram or community or charity or knowledge or anything. If they find a benefit for themselves, then you'll see is that they'll propagate it for others and talk about how it's important. If they don't see it for themselves, they won't talk about it. They won't be into it. And if they think that it doesn't help them, it gets in the way of what they want, then they'll speak against it. Right? So those who speak against varnashram, against all these religious acts, because they think it'll get in the way of something. You know, some element of benefit for themselves that they value, therefore they speak against it. Otherwise, they're not just talking about pure devotion and engaging on that platform and therefore ignoring all these things. No, they're replacing them with some other mundane attachments and claiming that that's devotional service. If they can engage that in devotional service, yukta vairagya, why can't you engage the Vedic? It's generally taken yukta vairagya means anything non-Vedic. And Vedic is Maya. No, yukta vairagya means anything other than the, you know, that you say means from yourself, the soul, and to your conditioning, gross and subtle, and anything connected with that, you're taking that and connecting it to the Lord without attachment for the benefits you'll get, but simply for how it can please Krishna, right? That becomes yukta vairagya. Yes, no? Very good. Yes, please.
I was thinking about this point that you made, the yukta vairagya point, because, you know, devotees, they quote it left and right without even understanding what it actually means. But as you yes. explain, it seems that to engage whatever is outside of the Vedic culture is easier nowadays, although it's unnatural in a sense, but easier because those things are, you know, pretty straightforward and you can even say primitive. But the Vedic culture, it's very vast. So you have to understand it, then you can engage it. So this seems to be the difficulty. And that's why Prahlad Maharaj in the seventh canto, and not before, then he explains the science of unalloyed devotional service.
Yes. Yes. But you also see is that in the seventh canto, then there's the discussion between Narad Muni and Yudhishthira Maharaj, where they go through and discuss, they spend five chapters discussing, you know, human society, varnashram in its, you know, external forms, and then the understandings of it up to the Paramahamsa stage. So the, you know, on the same level is because what takes some maturity to understand what's pure devotional service. So you see, therefore, it's discussed in seventh canto directly, though it is discussed before that, just we may not catch it. But then we see is that he's also discussing varnashram there in the discussion with Yudhishthira Maharaj, because then at that time we can see it from what you mentioned there, the yukta vairagya, and you can actually, not be attached to the results, not being doing it because of the benefit you'll get, but just simply because it's the natural human form. Since we're, you know, we're in the human form, why wouldn't we use the human activities naturally to express our devotion? Just like, let's say you have a cow, they do cow things for Krishna, or a horse does horse things for Krishna, or you have dogs and they keep the people away, they do dog stuff for Krishna, or the cats go around catching the mice, they do cat stuff for Krishna. So why wouldn't we do human stuff for Krishna? You know, that would be, so that's what the varnashram defines, because it has to be learned. Because otherwise one will, if it doesn't have training, one will be like an animal. Like sometimes, now and again you hear, very rare, but sometimes they find a child who got lost, you know, sometime or that, and they grew up with animals. You know, somehow the animals took care of them and they grew up. And so they run around on all fours. They don't know how to speak. They just growl and grunt and, you know, stuff like that. And so now and again, I think they've, you know, one or two people like this they've found. And of course, there's, you know, Tarzan and, you know, some other things that you hear. But the point is these things do happen. Or, I mean, the founders of Rome, right? They were brought up by wolves, right? And so Romulus and what is it? Whatever, those two guys. And so then Yes. So this whole aspect of Yukta Vairagya, they're just what's favorable for them, and then they see it in relation to Krishna, which is a good thing. But they have to understand it's broader than that, because when you say Vedic stuff, they'll go, oh, that's Maya, that's fat fanatic. And no, but then what about this? Oh, that's Yukta Vairagya. No, it's all anything where the soul is engaging anything other than its spiritual form in the Lord's service. That's Yukta Vairagya. You know, that's all there is if you're using it for Krishna. And if you're not, it's just Maya. So the important thing for us, because as we see in the Kali Yuga, then, you know, everything's reduced down to its simplest form. Then it's going to be this principle that what is the essence of it? What's the important thing? What's the devotional aspect of it? Why is it important? And so that's the part of Varnashram or any of these other Vedic things, self-realization, ritualistic logic, the science of law and order, the means of earning one's livelihood, all these things is, what's the essence? How does it connect to Krishna? How is it useful, you know, for the conditioned living entity to engage in Krishna service? That then is the thing to appreciate. And so that can be, you know, tested. And once you say, oh, it's so difficult in that. In the modern kind of concept, there's an idea that if you do something for 10,000 hours, you become expert, right? And they say that basically will, you know, on average would take you 10 years. Okay? So 10 years of you know, putting your efforts into understanding Varnashram, you know, and practicing it and this and that and discussing it, how it connects to Krishna, how all these Vedic things connect to Krishna. Okay, so in 10 years, you could be expert. Okay, you don't put in so much time. 20 years. Okay, whatever, slowly, whatever. But people who've been in the movement 40, 50 years, and they don't even approach it, you can't say that's glorious. You know, a misunderstanding where they're completely avoiding everything material that they're looking for and need and desire and endeavor for. They're just ignoring and taking other things that are scraps left over from before they joined Krishna consciousness and trying to still apply it today and still getting no satisfaction. There was a song before they all joined also, you know, called I Can't Get No Satisfaction. I mean, it also applies today just as much as, you know, all these other, you know, political platforms apply. So we have to appreciate that here Prahlad Maharaj is just, he being a child speaking to children, they don't have all these baggage. So it's just, here it is. Okay, yeah, here it is. And you see that they all, the sons of demons, they took it up. They started chanting, they started this and that. And it was so, you know, solid that the teachers who are, you know, we were talking about very experienced teachers, right? Sons of Sukracharya. Now him and Brihaspati, you know, they're famous as, you know, the main, you know, Brahmins who teach in the universe, you know, and so very, very qualified, you know, even so then, and his sons, which would be also qualified in Hiranyakashipu, he's not going to just get some ordinary guys. So they're going to be the best because they're teaching his son. And they're afraid that the preaching of Prahlad Maharaj is so effective and so powerful that he's turned the minds of all these, you know, the sons of demons towards God consciousness. You know, so very, very powerful. You know, does that make sense? Yeah. So this aspect of Yukta Vairagya, it's a matter of just trying to understand what Prabhupada said. If you have that as a goal, then it will be discussed. It will be, if there's a concept of vada and you want to know, discussions then will be there to lead you to understanding that. It may take years, it may take decades. You know, because what you do have the aspect of human life is for humans. And if you act on a subhuman platform, it may take you a few, you know, decades to get to the human platform. But when you do, because you have that determination that this is what probably the acharyas recommend, then it's doing. And if you say, okay, well, but we're not on that human platform, we're subhumans. Okay, but then you should culturally act like subhumans, and that you see yourself subservient to those who are humans. So those who do understand and do practice and all that, then take lead from them. But this whole thing is where, you know, the shoes go on, you know, go up on the head, then that's not going to get us anywhere. We have to remember Srila Prabhupada, the acharyas, you know, all that, that's the head, you know? So we have to come in line with, you know, their teachings, their education. Is that good?
Yes, thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, yes. Yeah. Sad thing is that the Yukta Vairagya is used as a political or economic platform rather than a platform of trying to understand and practice. Because if it's a practice, then they should be able to say how everything is connected. It's just taken for granted. Oh, it's automatically connected. So it means that they don't know how it's connected. So it won't be a very strong platform. Okay. This is also, continuing Prabhupada's purport. This is also confirmed by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 2:45, where he says, Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nishtrigunyo Bhavarjuna. Quote, the Vedas mainly deal with the subject of the three modes of material nature. Rise above these modes, O Arjuna, be transcendental to all of them. End quote. Right? So he mentions all of them, not some of them. Right? So that means even mode of goodness, and then like that. To act on the material platform, even if one's activities are sanctioned by the Vedas, is not the ultimate goal of life. The ultimate goal of life is to stay on the spiritual platform, fully surrendered to the Parama Purusha, the Supreme Person. Right? To stay on the spiritual platform. Because if you're using mode of goodness, then he's there. And even if you're understanding the soul, there's aspect of Brahman, there's the aspect of liberation, but they're only sometimes on that level. And then they go back to these other aspects of the Vedic, the material knowledge. But the only way you can stay on that platform is through devotional service. That's the only one that's permanent. That's the only position that's permanent. And so even if sanctioned by the Vedas, it's not the ultimate goal. So unless that what's sanctioned in the Vedas, you're engaging it in devotional service for you to advance, and you're actually getting the effect, the results of you advancing in devotional service. So in other words, you're doing something sanctioned. You're engaging in yoga or some other things like that. But if you're not advancing in devotional service by using them, what's the point? It should be, if you're engaging in devotional service, it should be able to assist in your advancement. It's a medium, so therefore it assists. Like you're trying to go to the temple, the car is a medium. It assists you to get to the temple. It's not about the car. Right? But if you're going out on a joyride and this and that, then you're not getting to the temple. So what's the point of driving the car? It's fun, okay, great, but you're not getting to the temple. So don't say Yukta Vairagya. This is the object, continuing with Prabhupada's purport, this is the object of the human mission. In summary, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies and injunctions are not to be discounted. They are means of being promoted to the spiritual platform. Right? So they're not to be discounted. But if one does not come to the spiritual platform, the Vedic ceremonies are simply a waste of time. Like Prabhupada said, you're putting on tilak, you're not saying the mantras and all that, then it's like putting on war paint. You know, he said that America says things like that. It just means, you know, what does it mean? So the point is, but if you don't, means they shouldn't be discounted, but if they're not helping you come to that spiritual platform, then why are you using them? So in other words, areas where you have values, you have attachments, yes, engage them, but you should be engaged in devotional service, not in karma or jnana. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.8. Dharmas svanushtitah pumsham vishvakshena katasuya yaha notpadayet yadi ratim shrama eva hikevalam. Quote, duties, dharma, executed by men, regardless of occupation, are only so much useless labor. They do not provoke attraction for the message of the Supreme Lord. End quote. If one very strictly performs the various duties of religion, but does not ultimately come to the platform surrendering to the Supreme Lord, his methods of attaining salvation or elevation are simply a waste of time and energy. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.6.26 purport. So whatever you're using, if it's not helping you get to Krishna, then it's a distraction. It's a waste of time. It has to be seen that if it's not, because people can say, yes, yukta vairagya, but is it helping you become elevated? You're doing the service, but if you're becoming more and more proud of your service, more and more attached to your facilities and position, more and more, you know, in the mood of control, then how is it helping? It has to help you become more Krishna conscious. It's not, oh, I got things done. That's nice. You did things for Krishna. But from that, you've gotten distracted by all these, you know, little waves on the ocean of devotion. So you have to be very, very careful not to get distracted. Does that make sense? Okay. Then Jiva Goswami continues in his comments. Iksha means knowledge of Atma. I consider all that is derived from the meaning of the Vedas to be true, satyam, if it recommends sadhana for offering oneself to the Supreme Lord, who is the antaryami within, swa suridaha, since he is the real goal. Or another, right, so Vladimir is just saying, I consider all that is derived from the meaning is true if it's recommending. In other words, whatever studying the Vedas is true as long as it's connecting you to the Supreme Lord. If it's taking you away from the Supreme Lord, then it's not true. Or another meaning is this. If Dharma results in offering oneself to the Lord, it makes all actions and attainments successful, satyam. Otherwise, all these Dharmas are useless. Right? So that's what one has to see. Is it actually attaining what one says it's supposed to obtain? That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakura recommends, that one's on a regular basis analyzing one's devotional development and seeing, is it successful? Is it moving forward as planned, as expected? And if it is, then great, you continue with more conviction. And if it's not, then you analyze what is the weaknesses and what could be adjusted. Yeah? The Lord spoke thus to the sons of demons. Yeah. Good. Anucheda 56. Later it is said, Tatropaya sahasranam ayam bhagavato ditaha yad ishvare bhagavati yata yer yanjasa ratihi. Of the different processes recommended for disentanglement from material life, the one personality explained and accepted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be considered all perfect. That process is the performance of duties by which love for the Supreme Lord develops. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.7.29. Jiva Goswami's comments, among the thousands of methods for destroying the seeds of actions made of the three gunas previously described, this method was taught to me by Narada. From this method, yat, established by a thousand methods, yahi, love, ratihi, for the Lord easily appears, without obstruction, anjasa, in proper form, yata, vat, right? So there's so many processes recommended in the Vedas, but Prahlad Maharaj is pointing out that process, which has been explained and accepted by the personality of Godhead himself, that should be considered the most perfect. That's why in Gita, you see Krishna is showing, you know, all the different things that are there in the Vedas. And, you know, some say this, some say that. And so, and then he says, in my opinion, it's this. So his opinion is the opinion. You take that and you see anything else that is mentioned in context of Krishna's opinion. So we see Krishna explains things in the Gita. Krishna's explaining things in the Uddhava Gita, in the Kapila Gita. He's talking to the gopis. He's explained anything where he's explaining, you know, in his discussions with Rukmini Devi, you know, any of the, where he's explaining and he's, you know, applying, you know, this is what he uses. That should be accepted. And all other things, how much they come in line with this, they have a value. And how much they don't, then it's not important. So what Krishna is talking about, there's a principle there that has to be appreciated. The detail in which he applies it, then of course is going to be the nicest detail that he prefers. But if it's not always available, then of course you can use other secondary, tertiary, quaternary forms of it to be used in that principle. But they have to be in line with the principle. They can't just be as, you know, you connect however you like. Yes, no, really good.
Yes, Guru Maharaj.
Okay. Anucheda 57. After speaking of the components of that method, such as service to Guru in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.7.30, it is said, quote, bhakti is performed by persons devoid of lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride, and hatred. By this method, Rati to Vasudeva is attained. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.7.33. So Rati, as we see, is that you're going to have Ruchi is going to be the beginning of the natural form of Rati. And then from that Ruchi or that taste, when it becomes attachment, then it turns into Rati, where there's that attachment is there in that, you know, very, very nice form where it becomes dynamic. It's an identity as that I'm servant of Krishna in this form and I want to serve in this way. So that aspect means then we have to give up this lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride, and hatred arising from seeds of karma. So anything that's coming from any of these kind of aspects, they're going to get in the way. So one has to be comfortable to give that up and just try to surrender to Krishna, surrender to his instructions, take shelter of him, that there is nothing else to take shelter of. And one appreciating that there is nothing else, that situates you where you're solid in devotional service, you're fixed. So being fixed in that devotional service, then by that steady nature, then taste comes. So that's where it's going to come. So, but as long as one's distracted by other things, by lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride, and hatred, and arising seeds of karma, that these other activities have a value, they're important themselves, these things are going to be obstacles in one's devotional service. Right? So therefore, one should see is that they only have importance, because the point is the devotional service, not means the devotion itself. The service itself is the medium you're using for that devotion. And so as long as the devotion is developing, then you continue doing that. If you don't, you have to adjust either the mentality or even what, you know, technique of what you're doing or even what services you're involved in, if they're going to get in the way. Prahlad spoke thus to the boys. Riti, the next Anucheda elucidates Narad Muni's instructions to the Pandavas. Narad Muni describes that the Supreme Lord Vishnu is the essence of all Vedic knowledge and the root of all religious principles. Hence, without bhakti, there is no question of religious principles. The so-called religious principles devoid of devotional service to the Lord are only cheating, right? So the Bhagavatam, the second verse of the Bhagavatam then points that out. You know, all these Kaitava dharmas means it's talking about bona fide, recognized religious principles given in the Vedas. But if they don't connect to the Supreme Lord, it's cheating. So in other words, it's bona fide, just like the kitchen is bona fide. The cooking process is bona fide. And the techniques of cooking are all bona fide. But if you're using them to cook something for Krishna and offer to Krishna for his satisfaction, then it's real. But if you're not, you're just cooking for yourself and for or prestige or this or that, then it's cheating. So in other words, all situations, all technique, all knowledge, all results, all experiences are supposed to be engaged in the Lord's service. If you are, that's proper. If not, it's cheating. And so that's why then the devotional process puts the effort on. Since we're in the material world, all we're doing is cheating. So if anybody's willing to, understand that and try to move forward into pure bhakti, then what's seen is their efforts in trying to not cheat, to say, oh, he's cheating here. It's just like everybody on the planet is cheating. Every living entity in the universe is cheating if they're not engaged in devotional service. So therefore, then what they're doing that's real, that's the real, that's what's cultivated, that's what's developed. And what's there in cheating, It has a value only in as much as you can see what not to do. So it's not the area you're working in, it's why you're doing it, your intent. Like that. What is there? What kind of attachment? What's the purpose? What you're trying to gain. So it's a very subtle aspect. That's why it's thought, oh, it's all this. So then we kick out everything and there's just sit down and chant Hare Krishna. Like that. No, it's that you see everything engaged in the Lord's service. That's why in the spiritual world, everything is functioning on the platform of service to Bhagavan. Because Bhagavan is a person, the living entities are people, and they're interacting on this platform of relationship. So this idea of just sit down and chant, there's nothing and all that. We're seeing that everything's controlled, senses are controlled, this, that. It's not we're seeing we're just sitting down and absorbed. Enchanting and absorbed in the Lord's pastimes. We're saying no, no this, no that, no talk, no this, anything. That's all Paramatma kind of jazz. And even that, we're more looking at the situation rather than it's all Krishna's and it's he's in control. We're looking at it that I'm in control. I'm in control of my senses. I'm in control of this. I'm in control of that. This one's being controlled by that one. That one's controlling this one. So it'll come down to more the aspect of just the situation with the touch of the other thing in there. And so then by what we can say, yes, I'm on this wonderful platform. Does that make any sense? Yeah, so it's not actually a valid statement. Oh, then you're just saying, well, sit down and chant. No, we're saying everything you're going to do is in Krishna service. That's personal. And this other concept is impersonal because you say, oh, don't do all this, unless it's devotional service, then you take it that, okay, so it's the opposite. So all this disappears. It's just impersonal philosophy. There's a contamination of that when we say, oh, this and that, and, does that make sense? Like Prabhupada didn't complain that the devotees, there was facility. He complained that in that facility, all they're doing is ringing bells. They come to the Arctic, ring the bell, this and that, and then they go back to the room and do whatever they're doing. They're not going out and preaching. That was the complaint. He wasn't complaining that it's a temple. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wasn't complaining that there's a temple. There's marble, there's cars, there's this, there's that. His complaint was, unless you use it for Krishna, then what's the point? So we're here to preach. So if it's helpful in the preaching, we'll use it. If it's not, we'll sell it. So you see, is they're not burdened by the impersonal philosophy, the Mayavad philosophy, or this mundane concept of spiritual, where spiritual means opposite of material. So therefore, anything you're doing has to be gotten rid of, and then you're just left with this. That's just impersonalism. Does that make sense? No, it's whatever is there. It's used in the Lord's service according to your nature. That's what Jiva Goswami said before. He was quoting, according to what is the nature you have? Yeah. As a human being, one should surrender to the Lord suitably with Bhagavad Dharma. Right? Suitably. So whatever is suitable for you and your position. Suitable, of course, all living entities is the devotion. But he's pointing that. So that means suitable, each living entity, then according to their nature, then they surrender and are engaged. Yeah. Anucheta 58. In speaking of Varnashrama, bhakti is said to be the dharma for all humans. Dharma mulam hi bhagavan sarva veda mayo harihi. Smritam cha tad vidham rajan yena chatma prasidati. The Supreme Being, the personality of Godhead, is the essence of all Vedic knowledge, the root of all religious principles, and the memory of great authorities. O King Yudhishthira, this principle of religion is to be understood as evidence. On the basis of this religious principle, everything is satisfied, including one's mind, soul, and even one's body. Yes, Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. As stated by Yamaraj, Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam, Srimad Bhagavatam 6:3:19. Yamaraj, the representative of the Lord, who takes care of the living entities after their death, gives his verdict as to how and when the living entities will change his body. He is the authority, and he says that the religious principles consist of the codes and laws given by God. No one can manufacture religion, and therefore manufactured religious systems are rejected by the followers of the Vedic principles. Right? So then you get this whole thing is, oh, if you just say, no, we should do it like this and that, you know, Prabhupada recommended it, then you're pro-Vedic, as if it's a political platform. You know, and then if you're not following, you're just being, you know, doing the Westerns thing, then somehow or another you're the natural and like this and that and the intelligent and the, no. So he's saying is that it has to be based on the codes and laws given by God. Otherwise, you manufacture all these things, how it'll be done, then they're rejected. Right? In Bhagavad Gita 15:15, it is said, Vedais cha saivera aham eva vedyaha. Vedic knowledge means to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Therefore, whether one speaks of the Vedas, scriptures, religion, or the principles of everyone's occupational duty, all of them must aim at understanding Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 1:2:6, Srimad Bhagavatam 1:2:6 therefore concludes, Savaipum sam paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhoksaje, ahaituk yapatihata yayatma supersidati. In other words, religious principles aim at learning how to render transcendental loving service to the Lord. That service must be unmotivated and unchecked by material conditions. Then human society will be happy in all respects. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying, on the basis of, means, O King Yudhishthira, this principle of religion to be understood as evidence, right? So when we were talking about evidence, then we have Pratyaksha, Anuman, and Shabda. And so what he's saying here is when it comes to Shabda and what's heard and what's, you know, what is being given, that everything connects to Krishna, everything is from Krishna, he's the essence of everything, the purpose of everything is Krishna. Whatever is there, that's evidence. All other Vedic statements, pronouncements, and all that, seen in that context, that to me is actual evidence. Like before, we were discussing about Krishna's true Bhagavan Swayam. That's the actual point of the whole Vedas. So everything being seen in context of that, then it becomes actual evidence. Otherwise, then it's cheating, because Krishna is the essence of everything. If we don't see it in connection with Krishna, then we're not seeing it properly. It is cheating. So it must be seen in context of Krishna. Then it becomes real evidence. Then, as he says here, then everything is satisfied, including one's mind, soul, and even one's body. Everything becomes satisfied if you see it that way. If you don't see it that way, then one will be on that mental, you know, platform, that physical platform. One will have an incorrect idea, you know, an impersonal understanding of the soul, and one will never be satisfied. Right? Continuing the purport. The Smriti, the scriptures following the principles of Vedic knowledge, are considered the evidence of Vedic principles. There are 20 different types of scripture for following religious principles. And among them, the scriptures of Manu and Yajnavalkya are considered to be all-pervading authorities. In the Yajnavalkya Smriti, it is said, Shruti Smriti Sadacharas Svasya Cha Priyam Atmanaha Samyak Shankalpaja Kamo Dharma Mulam Idam Smritam. One should learn human behavior from Shruti, the Vedas, and from Smriti, the scriptures following the Vedic principles. Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 12101 says, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidim Vina Aikantiki Harer Bhaktir Utpatyayaiva Kalpate. The purport is that to become a devotee, one must follow the principles laid down in Shruti and Smriti. One must follow the codes of the Puranas and the Pancharatriki Viti. One cannot be a pure devotee without following the Shruti and Smriti. Right. So Prabhupada is mentioning here, it was said before also, you have to follow these things. And the Shruti and Smriti without devotional service cannot lead one to the perfection of life. So therefore, Shruti and Smriti that's in line with devotional service to Krishna, and you're following that, then you're a devotee. But if you're making up your processes and connecting and saying you're connecting to Krishna, is it? Because unless you see the essence, how it's Krishna, how can you connect what you're talking about to Krishna? So that's the whole point is, the devotee follows that which is authorized and is in line with pure devotion to Krishna. That makes the devotee. Therefore, from all the evidence, the conclusion is that without bhakti, devotional service, there's no question of religious principles, that they're not actually religious principles. So unless there's devotion, whatever one is claiming to be some kind of religious principle or moralistic principle or, you know, practical principle, it's not in line with pure devotional service. It's not actually a proper principle. God is the central figure in the performance of religious principles. So when he said right, they're quoting it right and left, you know, about Varna, what's it, Yukta Vairagya, they're not quoting the center. Because otherwise you say right, left, and center. So they're not, the center is Krishna. Then right and left have some meaning, right? God is the central figure in the performance of religious principles. Almost everything going on in this world as religion is devoid of any idea of devotional service and is therefore condemned by the verdict of Srimad Bhagavatam. Without devotional service, so-called religious principles are only cheating. So when you say so-called, we don't necessarily mean they're not authorized by the Vedas. We mean so-called means they're not actually in line with the purpose of the Vedas, which is service to Krishna and devotion. Then it becomes actual. So-called means it's not in that form, let alone then what's not Vedic and it's not in line with the Lord. Without devotional service, so-called religious principles are only cheating. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.11, 7 purport. How are we doing on time? Okay. So anything else or we're good?
Okay. Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
Okay. So end for today. Thank you. Om Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada. Good job.